Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN on the road with Dame, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicagoland, and excited to have in studio with us the physical embodiment of, I think, the barbecue news community. He is, I think, the Walter Cronkite of barbecue, and residing in, I think, what is recognized as the barbecue center of maybe the east end of the Midwest, Cleveland, Ohio, the one and only host of Barbecue Central Show, Greg Rempe. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Dane, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you physically here. You come into the, whether it's the cell phones or computers or homes of so many people that are barbecue fans around the country, and now to have you here, kind of do what they say in the business, the old switcheroo, right? We're going
to
be asking
it
you
rarely
some...
happens, to be honest. I mean, of all the years I've done the show, for me to turn around and get interviewed is, this might be the fifth time.
Well, I don't necessarily see this as an interview. I see this kind of as a conversation. There's a lot of things that I'm interested in. I know a lot of people are excited to hear. There's probably some things that you may want to be able to share a little bit about the show, or about maybe the origins of the show that aren't necessarily part of the typical Barbecue Central show format, right? You know, so let's talk a little bit about it, because here's what it is. And I'll tell this for the listeners out there that aren't necessarily familiar, and we'll have all the links up at WGNradio.com, is what Greg has done is taken, as so many people try to do in the podcast world, has taken sort of a world, a universe, a space, a wheelhouse, if you will, and kind of carve out, I think, a very important niche in it as really sort of that conduit of information, of conversations for barbecue.
I never thought it was going to evolve into where we are today. If you look back 12 years, it all started with my wife bought me a kind of a crappy grill. I cooked through the back of it in like a year and a half. We were going to go out and buy another one. It was going to be this really nice stainless steel $1,200 grill that was at Home Depot. And I just happened to have a chance conversation with my cousin, who was in Maryland at the time and was a barbecue caterer. And he said, "Have you ever thought about getting a barbecue pit?" And I said, "Glenn, I have no idea what a barbecue pit is." So we had a conversation, and ultimately he said, "I think you could get a pretty decent entry model," which ended up being a Weber Smoky Mountain, "and a pretty decent gas grill. Now you have two cooking vessels, two different methods of cooking, and you probably will save yourself some money in the long run by not buying that $1,200 or $1,300 grill that I was looking at the Home Depot at that point." So that's where it started. I got the Weber Smoky Mountain. My wife got it for me as a Father's Day gift. Didn't know how to use it. I read the directions, which anybody knows, Weber Smoky Mountains, that's the worst thing you can do is read the directions when it tells you how to fire it up. And the first rack of ribs that I made was horrifically average, and there was a distinct point in time where that was going to become a flower pot in the back. But then I found the virtual WeberBullet.com, which was specifically related to that cooker, learned the Minion method, and that's when I got on the track, and it just got out of hand from there.
So walking the walk on the actual food side, and then kind of figuring out, and so many times, this is one of the things I think that is unique about the barbecue community, is that it is a very communal place. It is a conversational place. The people love to get together. They love to talk barbecue, and they have so much in common. Was that part of it? Is not only just kind of reaching out for advice on how to become better at what it is that you wanted to do, but was it also just like, hey, let's talk about this? I mean, barbecue people love to talk.
Certainly it was knowledge at first, because I didn't know what I was doing. It was a completely new cooking or way of cooking for me. But as I became more active on that particular message forum, I indeed realized exactly what you said. Here's a community of like-minded individuals. They like smoked meat. They're freely passing all of their expertise and knowledge and tips and tricks around. And over time, you move from that noob into, you know, kind of that medium knowledge guy, and then into the savvy veteran, and you see the new people coming on. And it's this whole circle of life of barbecue knowledge. And I got to the point where I was evidently over communicating on this message forum, and the owner of the Virtual Weber Bullet said, "Hey, you got to stop asking so many questions. You're costing me too much money. And I said, well, this is like a message board. So
was he getting charged by how many messages?
Who knows what they're doing back in 2006. So I said, you know what? I can make my own. So I made my own barbecue forum. Back then it was the BBQ4U forum. And it was on a free bulletin site. Cost me no money. And it grew. I invited some people over at first to get a little street cred on the barbecue scene. But eventually it started growing on its own and became one of the more active forums. I mean, it seems so old technology now. Like, you go somewhere, you post a question, you wait for somebody to get back to you.
Now it's
YouTube or just find it anywhere. But that's how it was back then. And it grew and grew, and all of a sudden there seemed to be more of an influx of barbecue forums. So to separate myself, I had heard about podcasting maybe 6 months before and really didn't know what it was. And I decided to look into that, and that was the first separator off of all those other forums. Then more podcasts came out, and then to re-separate again, I looked into doing a live show via the internet. They call it internet radio. That was still a term that's really weird for me, internet radio. Just internet show.
Right.
And that's where we are. Live show, it's been 12 years now, I think. So it's great.
You think about just where that kind of medium of whether it's media or communications or however you categorize it has really changed and evolved to the point where I remember. So I've been, working in radio for 20 plus years. And, when the whole idea of podcasting came out, it was a real compromise on whether it was the amount of people that you could reach or the amount of impact that you could have. And now I'll contend, and of course, everybody, stay tuned to WGN Radio right here in Chicago. But there are so many things that people are doing on the podcasting side where you can make an argument that you could reach more people, and you can make a really good argument. You could reach more people in the podcast forum. And I think the word is out. That cat is specifically out of the bag. And so, the kind of power that you can have. So to see it from getting into it where you just wanted to kind of have a voice, right, to share a voice and specifically in something you had a passion for. And now where it's really like the possibilities are endless.
You're right. Radio is great. Like, here we're on WGN. It's a blowtorch. You're getting multiple states and countries. I mean, this thing is wicked. But it's just for the people that are passing through that reach. And maybe they're hearing us right now and we spark some kind of interest and they look you up, they look me up, whatever. But they continue on to Washington State or San Diego or wherever they're actually headed. For podcast, it is everybody that's going to listen to me. We have some kind of common bond right off the bat. You've gone into iTunes or Google Podcast or whatever your podcast platform picker is, and you've typed in BBQ or barbecue, the full name spelling, and now you have a list of things to choose from, and you check out my show. Well, I already know if, Dane, this is the first time you've ever listened to Barbecue Central show, you Googled or you typed in those words BBQ. So you like that already, and I like that already. So there's a show that you might like. Now, when you tune into it, maybe you don't like my personality. Maybe you don't like the fact that I have a sound effects, whatever, that might eventually turn you off. But the hook, or what I find to be great about podcasts, is if I'm, as a listener, searching out something, then I know there has to be some time or some kind of common ground that I'm going to like, regardless of whether I end up liking the host or not, because I'm looking for it, and that's the hook.
Yeah, people don't just find themselves washing up on the shores of the BBQ Central.
No, you're searching that out. You're hitting the subscribe button. I mean, that's the best part of the whole thing.
So the conversations and how they've changed from a Greg reaching out to, like, how can I make my ribs not suck, all the way now to the conversations changing, and I want to say inside baseball, but where people that are there, like you mentioned, they're already informed, in tune, enthused, they're excited about what's happening in the barbecue world. And how can you not be? Because I think that your just everything that you've done and kind of the evolution of it has really converged with really a national. And I think maybe you could make a case that you're maybe part of it in some way, that the country, the world, really, you could make a case for, is excited about barbecue. So the conversations have changed from, hey, I need a little help not to make my stuff or to make my stuff better, to really as sort of that conduit for information when breaking news happens, when personalities are doing things, when they're bringing out books, when KCBS has a brand new kind of a revolutionary change at the top, they're going to come and they're going to talk to you. So how does it feel to be sort of that guy? Right?
It's a new thing, because it hadn't really happened where I had been approached. It's now been twice this year where a big entity to us, the American Royal leadership says, hey, we want to announce this year's Barbecue Hall of Fame, people that make it into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, the class of 2019, live on your show before we put it out on any other media. And then a month or so ago, there's a big change over at the Kansas City Barbecue Society where they've installed a new CEO, and they want to make that announcement live on my show. And it's, I mean, for me, it's really gratifying because, you know, there's certainly the whole news, I'm breaking it, blah, 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 and nobody knows before you hear it on my show. But I think it continues to lend a legitimacy and a belief by the folks within the industry that if, regardless of how many other barbecue shows there are, if you want to hear what's happening right now, including live late-breaking stuff, you have to come to the Barbecue Central show, or you have to get it right after it ends, or however you're going to consume it, because it's coming here first, and then it'll dribble down the line, and everybody else will get a piece.
Also, the opportunity to interact live with it, to like add your opinion to that mix, maybe get some kind of response or feedback to it. It's one thing to hear some of your favorite, you know, barbecue personalities talk about things that they're doing. I think that that's great. We do a lot of that. But to have it be one of those kind of conversations back and forth where you feel you're really a part of it, it's like a living, breathing thing, is really cool. So we're going to talk about those conversations when we come back from this break. We're going to talk about some of the personalities involved, some of the personalities in common, and some of those things that are highlighted, featured with Greg on BBQ Central. Quick break right here, 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicagoland, and in studio. Excited to have the host, the creator, the visionary, founder on the cutting edge of everything Barbecue Central show, the one and only Greg Rempe, live here from Cleveland, Ohio. And when you think about being there, and you were sort of there at ground zero on the media side for the barbecue thing and been there kind of with it as it's evolved into really what is a real living thing. You have hit shows like Barbecue Pitmasters on Destination America. You have, I think, an ever-growing list of, because there's a demand for it, of barbecue personalities and celebrities and products and a consumer base that is looking for more. It's similar in some ways. When I started doing the food side of things, and when I had syndicated Restaurant Radio America, and it was kind of at the beginning of just the general food celebrity thing. So you had, you know, like your, you know, Bobby Flay's and your Tyler Florence and your, you know, or like your Giada's. In the early days, or like a Guy Fieri who's like been a longtime good friend. The first time I was talking with him, his agent was just a food stylist from one of his restaurants in California, now multi-levels of William Morris and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it. And you're seeing people that are now kind of bona fide celebrities in the barbecue world. Those are typically your regular guests, you know, and we have a lot of friends in that arena in common. But talk a little bit about that, kind of being here and seeing, just as you, I think, have risen to a point of, I think, deserved prominence in what it is that you do in the barbecue world. But your guests, like, these are getting to be big stars.
It was never, I when I first started, so here's like the first big hook that I ever got when I was doing the podcast. One of my favorite persons ever to watch doing live fire cooking was Stephen Reichlin. I'd watch him on PBS during Barbecue University, and here I am starting a podcast, and I'd got a couple under my, and they were literally with nobody you've ever heard from, a guy that used to make a rub from Texas, a former Florida Barbecue Association president who's passed away.
I mean, just the fact that they were versed in the topic area made them great guests for you.
For me, in content, it was great. Would anybody know them? No, of course not. So when I decided that, okay, well, I have X amount of shows underneath my belt, I'm going to try an effort of Stephen Reichlin, and I wonder how this is going. I have no idea what I'm actually going to have to go through.
But this is a guy for you, as you know, that's working in and around it, and you see him. This is a guy that you appreciate. You know, you see him as an important part of it. You appreciate the entertainment he brings. You have friends that he's written the books, you know, Barbecue Bible, all that stuff.
To me, he was the top of the heap at that point. This is a number of years ago. I mean, to
he may
me,
still be, right?
He is still the top of the heap, I think. But from a name that transcends industry, we could probably walk down the streets of Chicago, and if we asked 10 people, one might know who Stephen Reichlin is.
Full disclosure, Greg Rempe, Steve Reichlin will be on the show with us tonight. He's going to be doing a little bit of preview for Labor Day weekend. And
nice.
He is, when I think about it, I got to think back, you know, because there's a lot of different people, but maybe 2007, 8, like he was one of my first like barbecue related like superstar
yes.
guests. And he's a personality that transcends so many areas of the, yes, he's got all the street cred in the world, the Hall of Fame, the James Beard Awards, you know, all of that. But he's like a different guy. He's one of my like heroes in barbecue. So
oh, yeah.
It's great to hear you say
yeah,
that.
So, and I'm like, well, I'm probably going to have to figure out a rap on PR people and there's going to be gatekeepers. I'm a sales guy by a profession during the day. So I'm going through my head on how I'm going to close this deal. And then
you got to talk about
I looked at what was then barbecuebible.com. There was this thing that said contact. It was an email form. And I sent an email. And within 30 minutes, he's like, love to be on the show. Nice. And I was like, there's no way it can be this easy. Like, this guy is the pinnacle of barbecue and grilling. And we did our first podcast. And he's now a regular on my show. Third Tuesday of the month, you can hear him in that 9:35 segment. And it's been a great relationship. But it also showed me at that point that even the most elite people in the live fire industry are reachable. They're not stuck up. They're not stuffy. They're not hiding behind PR people. They are literally you and me accessible. And all you have to do is reach out and tell them why it would be a good idea to come on the show and what fun we would have. And I don't know if I've ever gotten a no from somebody that I've been able to talk to. Sometimes you have trouble getting through the levels of PR now that that happens. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's great to see everybody who I've had on the show, everybody who's on television right now, I've had on my show at least once or twice. So to have those relationships and seeing their success now on television or getting a little bit more recognition just walking down the street, to me is great because it elevates the whole industry.
When you think about those personalities that are in the live fire industry or barbecue personalities or celebrities, I think there's something unique. Being a guy who's interviewed like lots and lots and lots of food people, I think specifically in that area, I don't know if I would say, and you make me think about it, is if they're more accessible. They seem accessible, but I think they're just more open and excited to share what it is they do. I think there's another, as much as you can be passionate about what you do, there's another level when it comes to the barbecue people. They're just excited about what it is they do.
You know, I often say that, you know, you never talk about religion, you never talk about politics. I would also throw a third one in there, barbecue, because people can get pretty passionate about talking more than I've realized that they would be when you're even this, and it's not when we're talking like on the show and stuff, but when you're just sitting around at a barbecue joint or in the backyard and you start talking about techniques, man, it can get like knife fight pretty quick.
Well, there is whether it's the techniques, whether it's the equipment, whether pork belly burn ends or really burn ends or any of that stuff, or whenever anybody, and you think people who do this seem to be, I think, just opening themselves up for problems from the get-go. Whenever they make those lists, you know, like the top 10 barbecue places in the country, I mean, that's, you get some people are excited about it, and you get lots of people that are like, what are you thinking, you know, or where's my place, right?
Oh, it's very subjective. I like the lists, of course, that have no problem just going down whoever's making it and just saying, here's my top 10, and now I will take the flack accordingly. What I don't like is the top 10, and now let's go vote on a winner, because that all of a sudden has become an incredible popularity contest, and depending on who's on that list, they could have an incredible social media following.
Yep.
And just because they get more votes, they win. I'm, you know, come on, let's have a little cojones and put up a list that you made, stand by it, and argue it.
When it comes to traveling, when it comes to getting out there and going to some of those barbecue destinations around, whether it's like a Texas is going to be the place that you're going to head to, or whether it's down in Memphis or Kansas or any place around, or in Chicago, right? We've got a lot of great places right here in Chicago. Don't think
Green Street Barbecue. Amazing.
I don't think we get enough credit. So we talk about road trips all the time, family road trips, and I think on the culinary side, people are doing more of that, getting people in the car and heading out to kind of enjoy the cuisines of some faraway away exotic place like Cleveland. So when people go to Cleveland, we've got chef friends, you know, Jonathan Sawyer is a friend, you know, yeah. Michael Simon, of course, is right there. So you've got people that are marquee chefs. Michael Simon is kind of, he was on the barbecue show that they just had, Barbecue Brawl.
Barbecue Brawl, yeah.
He was on that, but I don't consider him a barbecue guy. He's a fine dining guy, burger guy, carnivore guy. For Cleveland, are there places in and around where it is that you are that you really, really enjoy and like, I guess, frequent on a regular basis?
Barbecue-wise?
Yeah.
Hmm. There's not many. So it's...
Well, that's honest, though,
it's
right?
It's a terrible question to ask. There are plenty of barbecue joints in and around the greater Cleveland area. There also are plenty of barbecue joints in and around the Cleveland area that suck. A lot of those.
Okay.
The places that I'm going to tell our Chicago friends today, if you're going through Cleveland, that you would want to go to. On the west side of Cleveland in Parma, there's a place called Barbecue Smokehouse that is absolutely fabulous. It is literally no frills. It's kind of that go in, they cut it, send you on your way. The brisket is amazing, probably the best in Cleveland in my mind. But it's very simple. It's brisket, it's pulled pork, it's chicken, some sausage, a couple different sides. Their greens are incredible. And that's my number one. Then Michael Simon's place, whether you want to hear it or not, Dane, Mabel's Barbecue is really good. It's really good. Some of it's a little out of the ordinary, so there's no pork ribs there. I'm sorry, there is pork ribs. There's no pulled pork there, but they do have traditional St. Louis-style ribs. They have lamb ribs, which you don't usually find at barbecue places that are really good. They have some Cleveland-based sides and sandwiches like bratwurst sandwich, some of the sides like you get the pig cracklings with this Lawson dip, which Lawson's is a specific Cleveland company, so he incorporates that. The mustard-based barbecue sauce, which if you go on Yelp seems to be everybody's biggest complaint, is there isn't a selection of sauces. It's one mustard-based sauce. That mustard, by the way, is a ballpark mustard, Burtman's, which happens to be located in Cleveland. So he does a really good job at trying to tie some Cleveland-based things in and some European things in to the menu. But in my opinion, this is a very Texas-inspired menu from the look, from how it's served on the trays with the butcher paper, the brisket. The spices are a little bit different. Pastrami-rubbed beef rib, which is really good.
Oh, that sounds good.
But, I mean, it's to me, it's classically Texas-inspired, even though he positions it as Cleveland barbecue.
That's great. That's really great to hear kind of the in-depth breakdown of the thing, you know, because he's a celebrity chef and probably the biggest culinary name, right?
No doubt.
Right.
So,
and he's a huge, you know, ambassador for Cleveland, big fan of Cleveland, always talking about it and all that kind of stuff and lamenting on the Browns and all the things that people complain about when it comes to.
A lot of lamenting.
Yes, there's always the lamenting. But when you come to a place like Chicago, and it's great to have you here, and this is not your first visit here to our fair city. This is an opportunity that you've had a couple times. You mentioned Green Street. Of course, our good friend, you know, Barry from Smoke is great. There's a lot of cool places. Is there any places that you make a point not to miss or that you're looking forward to going next time?
So this is technically, I would call this my maiden voyage eating through Chicago.
Oh, wow.
The last couple times, the most recent time before this, I was in Rosemont. So
there's a Bub City out there.
I was out.
Yeah.
Hit a Gibson's, which was a really good steak.
Yeah.
But no, that was like the venture out.
That's really good.
Because I'm inside a convention center, that big dome out there in Rosemont by the airport.
Yep.
And then the year before that, I was downtown, but again, volleyball, so I was inside a lot, so not a lot of eating. I think I went to the Weber restaurant with Meathead from AmazingRibs.com.
Nice.
And he's got I don't know if you had heard, but he's got this barbecue stars.
A new video series.
Yes. So, it's kind of like master class, but it's all barbecue related, not to get off topic. But so this time around, my middle daughter's in for some modeling thing at the Mart. So she's tied up all day and I'm left to my devices and I like to eat. So I went out Saturday and hit Au Cheval. And
The burger?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
how was it? Okay. So
that was all I've heard about for like 3 years. Well, but I also heard that the line is like Franklin's barbecue. And I've often said that no matter how good Franklin's is, you will never catch me waiting in line for 3 or 4 or more hours because there's something that has to happen physically to me if I'm waiting that long that I know isn't going to happen.
Well, but I think, too, is part of it is I think that if you could just go in there and be surprised, be amazed, be astonished by that burger and be like, whoa, I didn't know it could be like, but when there's so much hype, it's hard to like live up to because the expectations are so different, you know, unless you get, I guess maybe there's a kind of sliding scale of expectations and then just you've resigned yourself. You're going to think it's awesome no matter what.
Well, the good news is this. At 10:45 on a Sunday, there was no line. I walked right in. They sat me right at the bar. It was just me. And I got the double cheeseburger, got the thick-cut bacon, got the egg on top, of course. And it was visually a delight. You know, there's a lot of other nerdy things that are going on in that place. I mean, it's super small, which I prefer, which I can also see how that adds to the line situation when that happens. And then like behind the burger bar, you have like five or six people all working in concert. The flat top's going. The guy's doing the fries. One guy's cooking the eggs. I mean, there were so many wonderful, attractive things that were going on at Au Cheval when I was there. It was great. To top it off, the burger absolutely met expectation and all the hype. Not having to wait in the line probably helped with that too.
Yeah.
But it was really good. The bun was really, it was like a brioche bun. The patties were really good, well-cooked, a little pink in the middle, juicy. Cheese is good. The bacon's good. I mean, it was a great burger. And then I walked right across the street and went to Green Street Barbecue, got a half pound of brisket because, to me, that's the measure of, I mean,
that's
I can
it.
Make really good pulled pork. I can make really good ribs. But to see a restaurant pull off brisket is kind of the standard to me. And I got a piece of the lean, piece of the fatty. They were both really good. And Dr. Barbecue actually told me that they took a lot of inspiration for his barbecue restaurant down in Tampa from Green Street as far as...
I was there with him while he was doing the recon.
Yeah,
you know?
They're doing like all the tasting and the profiles, and they were really taken with that for Dr. Barbecue's restaurant down there. So he's like, you know, this is an important place for me. And so it was great to have really good barbecue there. But it was a great experience for sure. I did Parlor Pizza. And then right before I came up here, I did the Billy Goat cheeseburger. And,
look
you know,
that.
Let me tell you, man,
I
saw a lot of hate on the reviews for that place.
For the Billy Goat?
Yes.
Well, it's cool. So there are some places that people have, I think, a romantic attachment to for whatever reason, whether it's part of Saturday Night Live or that was part of, you know, there was a lot of, you know, media entities, the Tribune and W, you know, and it's kind of right under the street for the listeners who haven't been there.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people that had lunch there that, so it's an iconic location, a great people watching location. People can come down, you know, on one side or the other on whether the food is special or whether it's the ambiance of the history that you're tasting. I don't know.
I'm a Saturday Night Live nerd, so that aspect of it was already a winner for me. And to see where it was underneath the bridge, which was kind of weird, it's like always nighttime there. And then to go in, you walk down, you see the guy behind the flat top. I mean, there was no like, cheeseburger,
right,
like they do in the skit, but I mean, of course, I ordered that. It was the double cheeseburger, and I put a couple pickles and mustard ketchup, and that was it. The bun was really good. Like, I thought the bun made the burger. I mean, the burger was good. I mean, not life-changing, but all in all, as you said, there was a romance that happened within those 30 minutes that was good.
And
I mean, I would go there again.
It isn't even just like the Saturday Night Live stuff. Obviously, that brought us sort of national prominence but here, local Chicago lore and sports legends, you know, with the GOAT and, you know, not getting into Wrigley Field and the Cubs and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of great stories to tell. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the show, what people are going to hear, when they can hear it. We'll talk a little bit about, I think, some changes in KCBS and what Greg sees for the future of barbecue, not only for people in their backyards and all over the place in the membership, but also those great personalities. So keep it here, 720 WGN.